We'll be talking again about the strange phenomena that happens the minute I start preaching. The changes that go on in people who had every intention and every desire to hear the truth until they realized what the truth was. And as soon as they realize that the truth they're going to hear is the truth about them, all of a sudden they become whole. And they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Now, to understand what Jesus was talking about, we need to start in Matthew 9:10. It says, "And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples." Now, that means everybody that's sitting here this morning is a publican and a sinner. The Pharisees didn't sit down with him. Hold your seats, folks. Don't be getting up and moving around. See, when Jesus sits at meat, when he opens up the book and it's time for meat and no more milk, in the house, publicans and sinners sit down with him. And that's the only ones Jesus talks to, by the way. The minute you decide you're not a publican and a sinner and this isn't for you, you might as well get up and leave. And some have. They're still gone. Because you see, the message is always for the publicans and the sinners, not the whole, not those of you that think you already know everything or that it doesn't apply to you. This message is not for those. Now, the part of you that doesn't like this is in verse 11. "And when the Pharisees saw, they said unto his disciples," and look what cowards they are. Pharisees I can spot a mile away because they never talk to me. They talk to other people about me. "And when the Pharisees saw, they said unto his disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners?" Now, I'm here to have breakfast this morning. I'm here to be fed by the Word of God. And the question that that whole part of you, that Pharisaical side of you says, why is Reuben here eating with publicans and sinners? Doesn't he realize I'm here? And I want some blue goo. Why is he serving this stuff? You see, the Pharisees, the side of you that thinks you're right and you know more than I do, cannot stand the fact that I'm here to speak to what's wrong in you. And that does not exclude the fact that I'm aware of what precious little there is right about you. It's just that I'm not here to speak to that. And because I don't speak to it doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. And if anybody knows what's right about you, no matter how much it is, it's you anyway. So why do I need to tell you what you already know? I'm here to tell you what you don't know. So you see, the master always eats with publicans and sinners. And if you have a difficulty staying awake or keeping your mind on the message, or finding every conceivable excuse to think about something else, you've simply made a decision that you're not a publican and a sinner. You're a Pharisee. And you will start questioning those that are listening, and certainly the one that's speaking, for the simple reason that you want to be recognized for all your good, rather than to have your dirty linen, your dirty underwear, exposed. Well, if you would change, and I wish you would, child, we wouldn't have this problem. And I remember the one and only time in my life that I took it upon myself to physically change a child. I had a fan conveniently blowing the other way. I wonder why. This fan stays right where it's at. You know, I'm comfortable with this fan. Because every time it becomes necessary to change or attempt to change God's people, I need me a fan. I may have to look at it, but I don't have to smell it. So you see, what happens in the message is when the master is speaking, and the master is certainly not yours truly. When the master speaks, he speaks with publicans and sinners. Now, if you don't agree that you're a publican and sinners, then when the Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, there is none righteous, no, not one, then somebody's lying. Jesus or you? I have a hard time even saying that because I know it's you. So you might as well understand, if you're not involved in the message, it's because the message isn't for you. It is to you, but it isn't for you. Because you simply will not take your position and sit down and be the publican and sinner you know you are. Now Jesus answers that question immediately in verse 12. But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Now that has two meanings, or two applications rather. First, he says, those of you that think you're all right, you don't need a physician. Well, what do you need? You need those that are sick. Have you ever stopped to realize that the ones who are the sickest think they're whole, and they gravitate to people that are worse than they are? So the sick take advice from the ones who are whole, who are sicker than they are. See, those that don't want to be told always want someone weaker than them. Guys, that's why you are so bent and so looking for fault in your wife and your children and me and everybody else, because you need someone who's sick. You need someone who recognizes they're sick. Why? Because you're whole. And because of that, everything you touch has to be sick. God gives you a car, before it's over, it's a junk heap. God gives you anything, and before you're through with it, it's sick. I don't care what blessing it is. Give you a brand new job with a raise and everything, and before you're done, that's a sick job. You don't like it anymore. There's something wrong with it. Well, that's because you're whole, and you can't stand something that's well. You can't stand something that's good. The whole don't need a physician. They need the sick. Now, that's one application. The application we're going to deal with is the whole don't need a physician. The sick need a physician. So you see, there's two applications. If the whole will not accept the physician, then you're stuck with the sick. However, if you accept the physician, then you have to be sick to accept the physician. You can't be whole, because at being whole, you don't need a physician. And something you're going to learn before these series of messages is over, we all start out sick. Now, the ones who have a physician, who accept a physician, end up healthy. The sick ones who don't want a physician, end up in their mind whole. And they are. They end up whole. And remember what whole meant? Boisterous, forcible. Depending on their own strength and their own ability, their own might. And whole also means not only forcible, but those that exercise force. They cannot discipline a child without raising their voice and getting physical. They have to exercise force. They can't ask you for a favor. They have to force and intimidate and somehow threaten to withdraw their friendship if you don't do what you ought to do. And it isn't what they're wanting is not wrong. It's how they're trying to get it that's wrong. They exercise force. They're whole. See, it's against their nature to say, I need. Need is not in their vocabulary. What they say is, oh, it would sure be nice if this would happen. And why aren't you doing that under their breath? They simply cannot articulate the phrase, I need. So they set up these scenarios where they tell you how unfortunate the circumstances are and what it would take to make those circumstances acceptable. But they're not going to ask you. Because to ask means they recognize their need, and the whole have no need. And you see, because they are of force, the only thing that makes an impression on them are things that force them. And that's why they have this preponderance in their life to be addicted to things that once you take them, they force you, or you'll go into withdrawal symptoms. They physically put a force on you that you have to take those things in order to alleviate that pressure feeling, that intimidation, that force, that your food, what you eat, what you drink, what you inhale has force. You cannot stand to eat or drink something that doesn't have force. So you see, you exercise force, and therefore you have force exercised on you. And the Lord says, look, why don't you accept the fact that you're sick and come to the physician? You say, no, I'm going to wait till the sickness becomes physical, and then I'll be forced to go to the doctor. Now, have you ever heard of any doctor asking you to come to him? What takes you to the doctor? Sickness, pain takes you to the doctor. You don't go to the doctor until you're forced to go to the doctor. And why do you wait until you're forced to go to the doctor who tells you what I already told you for free? You're sick. Because you don't do anything unless you're forced. You're whole. You cannot accept grace. You cannot accept the ability to make a choice between two things. You're a wimp. You have to wait till the choice is made for you. And then it forces you to do something. And then that way you can blame someone else because you didn't choose that. You were forced. Can you see the sickness that you have? Merely because you do not want to agree that you're sick, you lie to yourself and call yourself whole, and now you live in a world of force. May the force be with you. Boy. People that are whole, they get upset because they're sick. They get boisterous. They're crude, coarse, unmannerly, violent, noisy, unruly, rowdy, and rough. And what are they? Who are they mad at? Those of us that are sick who got healed. Because you understand this, people that are sharing scars and operation stories, they love each other. But all you have to do is talk to someone like that about how healed Jesus has made you, and the necessity is gone to have scars and operations, and they hate you with a passion. They become crude, coarse, unmannerly, violent, noisy, unruly, rowdy, and rough. They're boisterous. They cannot stand the healthy. They want the sick. Their first characteristic, as I said, they're crude. They lack grace, no forgiveness. You cross them up, don't do what they want, you won't see them for a while. Sounds to me like a good deal. What would you rather have them come after you when they're in that condition? That's crazy. They lack grace, they lack tact, they lack taste. They're crude. And you know what the problem is? They lack taste. I can always tell you who a crude person is by how they eat. This doesn't have any taste. Get the chili. Get the salt, get the pepper, get all that stuff. You lack taste. You're crude. You're boisterous. Remember, crude also meant not ripe or immature. You're a child. You know, children lack taste. If you knew about the evolution of baby food, you would know that originally they just ground up the goop and gave it to them. But see, mamas spooned it in. And every now and then, mama would take a little bit for herself. And she'd say, ooh, this has no taste. But the child was snapping it up. The child loved it. So the mama stopped buying it. Well, it doesn't taste good. So what happens? The Gerbers and all those companies then start flavoring to the taste of the mothers so they could feed it to the children. In other words, the mother's taste is already perverted. This is how we pervert the children's taste. You won't feed your child a thing that you won't eat, will you, Mom? And that's why if you don't eat it, neither will your children. You don't accept the physician, neither will they. Every day I see physical manifestations. And you get upset at the child because the child will not accept your authority when you, in fact, will not accept yours either. You have no taste. You're immature. Not completely grown, not developed, not finished, and not perfected. And then your course as well, of poor quality, harsh and vulgar. Vulgar, if you remember, meant those things that are common and popular. Vulgar people will only take what's common and popular, what they already believe, what everybody believes. They don't want to hear something new. Where'd he get that? Oh, you want something vulgar, don't you? You think God's going to come down to your level and get vulgar with you? You crazy? Boisterous also means unmannerly, showing poor manners, rude and discourteous. Rude people, if you remember, the word rude means ignorant. Immaturity. Children are ignorant, that's why they're rude. They always interrupt. They never want to do anything they're told because they're ignorant. Well, just because you've grown and you still don't want to do what you're told, just because your body has physically grown, you're still immature. You're still rude for the simple reason that you're ignorant. And then we gravitate, if you remember, to the word violent. These are the people that are sick that don't want to admit they're sick. So these are their symptoms of their sickness. They become violent, which means to act with great physical force so as to injure, damage, or destroy. Notice what they eat, what they drink, and how they do. Everything's damaging and destroying them, plus their family, but them primarily, them first. Violent also means showing strong feeling or emotion. The crybabies, the wimps, the excuse makers, the ones who say, you don't love me. Of course I don't. I already told you that. Don't love your mama either. I care about you, though. I care about that part of you that Christ died for. I don't give a flip for the part of you that Christ died because of. Now understand what I just said. The part of you that Christ died for is my only concern. The part of you that caused his death, I don't care about. And I'm not going to pamper it, and I'm not going to say nice things about it. And if I don't to mine, why would I to yours? Do you understand that's the part of you that necessitated the death of Christ? And that's what you want exalted? Well, not from me. Violent also means those that are emotionally disturbed, extremists. Violent means to distort the meaning. I talk to people like that, and they'll add things and take things away until the meaning is exactly what they wanted it to mean. And then they want me to explain what they said. And they want me to take responsibility for what they said. Can you understand why Jesus cannot preach to such an individual? Because no matter what he says, they distort the meaning. And then they want him to explain and make what they said about what he said fit the truth, and it cannot. And it never will. So he said, I didn't come to those. I can't reach those people. They're unreachable. Now, once you get to distorting the meaning, once you're violent, then you get noisy. And remember, noisy meant clamorous, but the important thing, its root of the word noise comes from nausea. And noise means loud, discordant sounds as a child, but it also means, see, when a child makes noise, they cry, they make sounds, they get on your nerves. But when an adult makes noise, we take the other definition of the word noise, which means a rumor, a scandal, common gossip, and the spread thereof. That's noise. And just as a child crying and moaning and groaning in your ears just disgusts you. You don't want to be around it. The same thing when you go to rumoring and gossiping. It's noisy. It's noise. And it's a physical manifestation of nausea. And nausea, if you remember, came from two words, nautical and sea. Or rather, of the sea means nautical, and the last part of the word has to do with a sailor or one who sails on the sea. In other words, it's a graphic definition of motion sickness, up and down. Seasickness is the literal interpretation of nausea. And seasickness is nothing more than sickness at the stomach with the impulse to vomit. Now, there's two characteristics that a person whose hull has. First of all, they have emotional ups and downs. They're sailors on the sea of life. Hurricane, put your name in there. And you see, in the hurricanes, there's always an eye, isn't there? And in that eye, it's calm. So you go where she, Hurricane Her, puts you, or he, I mean, whatever the case may be. And if you don't go in the middle, right where they want you, you have the fury. You got to be the apple of their eye. There's only one place to be. That's in the middle of them. So you see, this sickness thing is when you get on these emotional ups and downs. You love someone one minute, and the next minute you hate them. Nausea. What's the problem? You need to throw up something. You have sickness of the stomach. You have a need to expel something. You're sick. But since you don't do it, you become whole, and now you go through life wondering, why am I like this? Up and down, constantly looking for someone. And when you're up, you're looking for someone to say, oh, that's why, or something. And then when you're down, you do the same thing. So you're off on the sea of life. You're sick, and therefore you're sickening. You need not a physician. The last part of the definition of the word boisterous means to be a rowdy and a hoodlum. A rowdy is a person whose behavior is disorderly and quarrelsome. They want to fight about everything. But a rowdy also means a hoodlum. You know what hoodlum means? A miserable fellow. It also means a wild, lawless person, but it means a miserable fellow. And you know what a miserable fellow means, what miserable means? It means one who is a miser. And what is a miser? Someone who has something but will not use it. They can't enjoy it. You have free heaven, Cal. Free medical insurance. I already paid for it, Calvary. Yeah. You want to save it. What are you saving your health for? What are you saving all this for? For when we get to heaven. But there is no sickness in heaven. You need it now. Do you know what your problem is? You're a miser. And I can always tell misers, because they always tell me what they need, and when they have it, they don't want it anymore. It's something else now. Well, I thought that's what you wanted. Oh, if the Lord will only give me another apartment, another car, another job, another husband, another wife, another something. And then as soon as you have that, I find you filing your fangs again. See, the problem, the basic problem with the whole is they don't need a physician. Remember, need meant they don't to get pleasure from. They don't get pleasure from being told the truth. They don't enjoy it. Need not also means follow not. They don't go along. They don't take it as a model. They can see how it works, but then they say, well, why aren't you doing this or that way? Because you are not my model, that's why. I am the model. Well, that sounds pretty fleshly, Rube. You're the model. Yes, I am. You know what a model is? A little caricature, a little example of the big thing. It's a very humbling thing to say you're the model. You take it the other way, though. You simply will not take me as a model. You won't follow. And because of that, you use not. Use not means to refuse to put into action, to refuse to practice, to refuse to chew and consume. You just won't do it. Just like a child. Remember what a task it was to get you to take your medicine? Oh, please, sweetheart. And then my mother used to go, open your mouth, like this, and play games with me. No. And then they used to try to put it in soda pop and all kinds of different things. No. And my grandfather walked in and he said, take your medicine. Take the medicine that your mother's giving you, or take the medicine that I have. And he put his hand on his belt, just like this. And I said, why didn't you say so? Since you put it that way. Well, I'm not going to wait for you to say, why didn't you say so? I'm saying so. I'm putting it that way now. You refuse to chew and consume. You just won't take your medicine. Why not? Because they don't want it. Want not means to feel no need of, to feel no desire for, and to have no wish for. For what? What's the medicine that he's talking about? They need not a physician. Physician had three meanings: cure, curing, and healing. Cure means a treatment for restoring health. What is the treatment? The last part of the definition of the word cure means the work or the position of a curate. Or a curate. Curate means one responsible for the care of souls, a clergyman. They don't want to follow. They need not. They use not. They enjoy not. They take no pleasure, and they take not as a model the clergyman, the one who's responsible for the care of their souls. See, you want me to take responsibility for the care of your flesh and what it wants. You can forget it. You've had enough of those. You're first in line anyway. I couldn't get around you. And you see, the third part of the definition is the curing, the healing. They don't want to be sound again, made whole. Heal means to be free from grief, troubles, and evil, to reconcile and to make up. They don't want to make up. See, to reconcile you with the truth means to make up. You want Avon instead. Let's cover up. See, that's a misnomer there. Avon does not sell makeup. They sell cover up. And that's what you want. And ladies, I'm not singling you out as something inherent with you, but it certainly is characteristic of the training that you received as a child. Your mama covered up for everything. And it isn't too long before you're doing the same. Not only emotionally and spiritually, but physically as well. And I thank God for makeup. Don't misunderstand me. Poor, I thank God for that. But not when you use it as a cover-up. So you see, the whole battle here is not between you and good and evil. It isn't even between you and God. The battle is between you and God's man. And why does the devil fight God's physician in Christianity? Well, he fights the physician in all religions and in all families, because the physician means the one who's responsible for the care of the souls. Now, in the family, who is that? The husband. In the church, who is that? The preacher. He's against the one who God gave the responsibility to, because the one God gave the responsibility to, he also gave the authority to. And that's the one the devil's afraid of. I have seen abject fear and terror in the eyes of people who are trying to stand up to a holy God. Not me, but to what I'm saying. So you see, the devil fights God's physician, because he knows that's the only avenue in which to get and cut you off from what God has for you. That's his whole task. And it amazes me that the things that have crept into Christianity that you think are spiritual, and I'm going to prove to you now at 11 o'clock, you are practicing a pagan religion. I have taken the time and the trouble this week to study the characteristics of the world's religions, and you're going to be amazed at how much of it has slithered in to Christianity, right under the nose of the screaming, emotional, crying, begging for money, spirit-led, anointed men of God. Who think because it's something that makes them feel good, it must be good. And because it makes the people in the church feel good, it must be good. And it's slithered right in. You're going to be amazed at the things you thought were spiritual that in fact are spiritual, but of the spirit of the devil. And you believe they're of God. And I'm not going to ask you to believe me. I'm going to challenge you. And I'm going to give you chapter and verse references of historical facts. Things that have been recorded in different religions of what they believe. And you're going to find they have a common thread. No preaching allowed by preachers. No preachers. Equality, men and women. Ancestor worship. Your parents and your grandparents dominate. They make the decisions. You follow what they tell you. All calculated to keep you away from God's representative. And when I show you and give you the names of those religions, in the name of Christ, you are practicing Buddhism, Islam, Shintoism, Taoism, African religions. There's Eskimos in this place. We have some Indians in here too. Not by race. I'm not making reference to race. I'm making reference to practice. And you're going to find that all these religions that practice these procedures, well, there is no representative of God. They go off into these, what we call pagan religions, and they are. But you're also going to find something else. In all of those countries where those religions are prevalent, that's where diseases, famines, floods, wars, pestilences have always, earthquakes have always been predominant. Here's the frightening thing. We get more and more of those in this country every day. We're starting to get droughts, too. We didn't used to have them. I remember when an earthquake was always in Japan or somewhere. Somewhere far away. Floods. These places where hundreds of people would be killed. Were always somewhere else. Not anymore. It's happening right here. Why? Because we, sadly, are falling into the same trap that these other nations have. Why? Because there was no preacher, no physician that was willing to sit down with the publican and the sinner in you. But instead they played footsie with the Pharisee in you. And incidentally, that's why you're in this church today, because you've had a lot of that. You're just missing it, that's all. I didn't miss it, though. I got it right between the eyes. Now at 11 o'clock, I'm going to show you, are you really a Christian? Or should you go home and dance around a bonfire at least you'd be honest. And besides that, we need the rain. Brother Dennis, would you close the service?